Now, the latest news we have for you on what's expected to come from government in the next 24 hours is that Finance Minister Simon Harris is expected to introduce excise duty cuts as the petrol pumps from tomorrow. It will last longer and be potentially deeper than previously signalled. Such cuts to the tax on petrol and diesel would originally have ended next month, but Minister Harris, who was also the taoiseach, now believes he's found a fiscal space to push out the review date to May, offering more breathing space for consumers. The scale of the cut in cents per litre of both petrol and diesel will come down to negotiations tonight between the Taoiseach and Taoiseach Micheál Martin and the leader of the Independents supporting government. It will obviously be reviewed as well. The reductions will be immediate on the resupply of garages as soon as the charges are agreed by Cabinet. A cut of one quarter in excise duties has been mooted, but there are hopes Minister Harris might find room to manoeuvre that could reduce the stake further. Meanwhile, the situation continues to escalate in the Gulf. More attacks this morning on either sides in Tehran and in Gulf countries. Iran is threatening that any attack of its southern coast and island will lead to Gulf routes being cut with the laying of sea mines. The US is considering plans to occupy or blockade Iran's Karg Island, the country's main oil export hub, to pressure Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz to all shipping, including every ship from every country, effectively. But Iran is threatening this morning to lay mines if there are any attacks on any of its islands or coastal areas. And the price of a barrel of oil, unfortunately, continues to climb. This time last week it was $98 for a barrel of Brent crude oil. This morning it's $108.71. And just to underline the massive change, 1 month ago it was $70.16. Here we are, $40 of an increase, and you see the prices at the petrol pumps and with home heating oil and other things. With me on the line to talk about that in more detail from the opposition point of view is Sinn Féin Deputy Pat Daly. Deputy Daly, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme. What is your hope
good morning,
as to what will come
on
in the next day?
Yeah, well, I suppose the background to all of this, Jerry, is there's energy inflation and cost of fuel. It's affecting all European states, but Ireland is, depending on the people that you speak to, Eurostat say that we have the highest electricity bills in Europe, or the second highest, and home heating oil prices here are 8 times higher than the EU average. Retail electricity, triple the price of what it costs to produce it, and our energy, you don't need me to tell you how much the price of petrol and diesel have also increased. And, there's other difficulties, because in the background we have an accelerating renewable energy task force that has only met twice in the last year. You have the energy affordability that met, I think, 3 times. So there didn't seem to be a huge amount of urgency on behalf of the government to deal with the background issues. There's already problems. And then over the last, 3 weeks, it'll be at least 3.5 weeks, people have been waiting for a response from government as they see the literally before their eyes the price of their home heating oil in particular being going from about 500 up to, say, €900, but almost doubling. And that is while the weather has been relatively decent, it's cold enough at nights, and people are really, really struggling with all of this. So we're waiting for a response from government. We still don't know what they're going to do. Last week in the Dáil, they were saying that they were waiting to see. They had various phrases that they were using, that they weren't pressing ahead in any event. So they've been reluctant to intervene in the market. They've been very, very slow to act. But all we do know is that they are pressing ahead with the carbon tax increases on home heating oil, which is coming up in about 6 weeks' time.
Deputy, I have to pull you up on that. How can you criticise the government for not moving fast enough on renewables and protecting people from the longer term chaos on the markets, whatever the war is you're having yourself in whatever week, in terms of petrol and diesel and international gas prices that affect electricity, and at the same time criticise them for collecting carbon taxes, which is designed to do just that? It's either one or the other, surely.
Well, no, it isn't, because there is a myth out there And there's a couple of myths in relation to the carbon tax. First of all, they say, the government always say, and the government supporters always say now, that carbon tax will change the behaviour of people and they will stop using fuels such as kerosene, such as diesel, such as petrol. And that clearly hasn't happened. And there's also a myth then that the carbon tax revenues are completely ring-fenced, when even the Comptroller and Auditor General in an independent report says that they're not. But in relation to the carbon tax, unfortunately, the evidence, unfortunately for the government, that is, the evidence is that it raises living costs, it deepens inequality, and it penalises people, such as people in Kerry in more rural areas, and people who are generally older people in the population who aren't.
Does it not allow the government to increase grants, which it just did last month? 12,500 for heat pumps effective February 3rd. Improved grants for attic wall insulation, windows and door. New supports include higher fixed grants for first-time buyers. Increased aid for those in social welfare, with many changes applying to existing open applications. That's what the money is going to do, surely.
Well,
to get us out of this chaos. Is it not?
Well, for example, introduced things like expanding the fuel allowance. But the fuel allowance is for either people who are on social welfare or people who are over the ages of 66, and then it means tested. So it's not necessarily the case. But if you look at the move, for example, for people in Kerry who want to, and I met, we're on the boat on Friday, and I met people who are after buying EV cars, and that's great. And they can, if they're moving in and around the county, they're very, very effective. But unfortunately, with EV cars, the infrastructure is completely inadequate. You compare us to Denmark. Denmark has 18,000 public chargers. We have 2,500.
Yeah.
And 7 out of 10 of the EV grants are going to cars that cost more than 40,000. And 1/3 of the grant, of the EV grants, which, you know, grants for, we should, you know, people should be moving towards EV cars, but 1/3 of the grants go to vehicles cost over €55,000. So if you can afford to buy a car that is worth that amount of money, do you really need 5,000? So that needs to be expanded. The infrastructure needs to be done for rural areas, because the difficulty is that people who are travelling outside of the county, who have to go to Cork or who have to go to Limerick or have to go up to Dublin, then they are unlikely to purchase an EV car. And if you look at the retrofitting, similar situation, it's if you can afford to do it, but it's not targeted enough at rural areas, and it's not targeted enough at people who don't have the money.
The background to all this, Deputy Daly, is it not the reality, though, Sinn Féin were in power, you'd be in the same crisis? Every country in Europe is in a crisis because of this. And you want to talk about the background, you talk about the decisions of Donald Trump, don't you? Isn't that what's allowing all this to happen? And what can any government, Irish or otherwise, do about that?
Well, they can prepare. That's the first thing that they can do. Now, you're right in saying that what can we do about Donald Trump, the man described by Micheál Martin as doing his bit for peace in the Middle East, you know. So, but obviously you can't do anything.
Yeah, in the context of dealing with a person who he is, which every other government would have done the same thing in the context of the sort of individual he is, and the jobs that have to be protected here, you would concede.
You don't have to blow smoke into Donald Trump and by telling him he's doing
I'm afraid you do, Deputy. That's the ridiculousness of the situation we're in. You do have to do that if you want to survive.
Okay, well, we could be here all day talking about Donald Trump, I suppose. But the difficulty is, you see, we need to become energy independent. We need to move towards renewables faster. The government, in my view, hasn't been doing enough about all of that. Yeah. There is a limit.
Let me put this point to you on that wider context of it. Let me put this point to you. The party that we're advocating for that.
Finish the point. In relation, Kerry, in fairness, as a county, has done its bit in relation to onshore wind. But the wind, other counties haven't, by the way. And the guidelines for onshore wind, we're waiting them for 15 years. The government has been not my quote, but a government minister who was actually on Radio Kerry said that have been sitting on their hands and navel gazing about offshore wind, and there has been absolutely no state investment in offshore wind. In fact, the governments of France and the government of Norway have more of an investment in offshore wind off the coast of Ireland than the Irish state has.
Yeah,
and if
the private
state are heavily involved, we saw when the ESB were had more control and they didn't have the commercial mandate, that our energy prices only 30 years ago were amongst the lowest in Europe. Now, if it's opened up to the market, it is inevitable that the prices will increase.
Let me ask you this one though. You're calling for the government to do more or failing to prepare, not going fast enough. The party they were advocating for that were effectively voted out of office by the Irish public.
Well,
yeah. Are you saying the Greens were right? We take it all back?
Well,
we should have listened to them, perhaps.
What I would say about the Greens, in fairness to them, is they did a lot for public transport, but they were being hammered left, right, and centre, and unfortunately, they got an awful lot of things wrong, and they weren't able to sell what they wanted to do, and they were attacked. Mostly inside, but also outside of government, by a lot of the independent groups,
and by Sinn Féin,
Well, we disagree with them on the carbon tax because we don't think it works on a practical level. In an ideal world, yes, we'd be all for a carbon tax, but it doesn't work. It doesn't change behaviour, as I said already, and increasing it in one, a cost of living crisis, and two, when energy bills are skyrocketing, is not the way to do it. And the amazing thing is that who were the people who challenged them the most and harassed them the most and called the carbon tax a regressive tax and something that didn't work that we agreed with us on that? The rural independents, the Healy Rays, and they're not here to defend themselves, but that's not surprising. And they were the ones, and now they're in support. Well, at least I think they're in support of the carbon tax increases that will be introduced.
Okay. Let me ask you this one finally. We did have Minister Michael Leary on the programme this morning, and he voiced his very real concern that whatever about the prices, as bad as they are, and the cut that will hopefully come in tomorrow midnight to ease the pressure, with regards to the way things are going, the bombs flying, the threats being made, he's now worried about supply. What happens if that becomes a factor? What should the government do? What can they do?
Well, we had our legislation that we introduced actually last week about the mineral oil tax, emergency cost of living reduction bill. And I imagine that what the government will do will be similar to what we had outlined in that proposal. It is for an emergency situation only. We don't think that this should be permanent legislation. We just have to monitor it. But the crucial thing is that the government need to be able to react much quicker than they have been reacting over the last 3.5 weeks. They didn't even confirm that they were going to do anything until we introduced this legislation last week. And they need to be around. They need to be reactive. And it just seemed that there was nobody in charge over the last couple of weeks.
Okay, what do you say to the arguments being expressed in some quarters this weekend that, this is a bad idea? That ever since the COVID-19 pandemic, we see governments being expected to step in every time there's a crisis, that this isn't sustainable in the long term?
When there is a crisis, that's what governments need to do. They need to step in and they need to react. And when people are really, really struggling, and if you are a pensioner, for example, and your bill has increased, your home heating, you need to put what was less than €500 into your tank, and you need to put the same amount in, it's going to cost you nearly four times the amount of your pension, a monthly pension. Well, then the government definitely need to step in and react.
Okay, Deputy, the final point for you, an issue you raised, and it's in relation to an announcement made last week, €1.1 million in funding allocated to turn around vacant social houses this year in Kerry, part of an overall €40 million package announced by Minister for Housing, James Brown. You've long been critical of the efforts being made here in Kerry to turn around these houses. You're saying nowhere near enough money and the timeline is still too long.
Yeah, look, there are challenges, and the people in the housing department of Kerry County Council work extremely hard under enormous, enormous pressure. But the increase, which is an increase from about over 930,000, it's an increase of 160,000 odd to a list which the NOAC report, which kind of is a test for local authorities, we have had not only the highest number of social, in 2024, the highest number of social houses sold in Kerry, but we have the second highest, after Loud, waiting list of a turnaround. The average turnaround for houses on social housing in Kerry is 35 weeks. And in Kerry, it was over a year anyway, 12, 13 months, 61.55 weeks is what it was. And unfortunately, an increase of 170,000 is not going to cut the mustard. While inroads are being made into those figures, they're still too long in Kerry for turning social houses around. There's nothing more frustrating for people in around the county than to see a house that is boarded up or that hasn't been relet to people when the lists are 10, 11, 12, 13 years and even more sometimes. So that's more money needs to be done on that. Unfortunately, we need a whole load of social and affordable in particular, and affordable housing. And when there's no affordable housing system in Kerry, the voids or the turnarounds need to be accelerated. And just one final point, that there is a kind of a something I've noticed in the last few months where all the government supporting TDs come out with a statement, whether it's two guards are increased for Kerry and they all come out with a statement, and you know that, quite frankly, that you'd nearly undermine your credibility by welcoming only two guards when every single guard in the county will tell you that we need a whole lot more. But now, and I'm going to raise it in the Dáil this week, every volunteer group or every club in the whole county, Jerry, that received more than 100,000 in lotto, not in lotto funding, but sports capital grants from the department, they are now being told that if they're having a sod turning, they must invite the minister from that department along and give him a month's notice. So forget about all the hard work that's been done in completing the forms and getting the quotes and all of that. You know, they're kind of been held over a barrel by being told that they should be inviting the minister, who is Minister O'Donovan, to the sod turning ceremony. Because
isn't that what normally happens?
If they don't do that,
are you saying it wouldn't happen if Sinn Féin were in power? The Sinn Féin minister wouldn't show up to say, you know, to welcome and congratulate the hard work being involved in developing it? No?
We turn up if we're invited. But actually sending a circular around to every single club that gets, you know, you put in an AstroTurf pitch, it's going to cost you $500,000. Getting more than 100,000 is going to pay for about 20% of that cost if you're lucky, and that's only for soccer pitches. GAA pitches be even more, and being told that you must invite the minister along, you know, it's a real overreach in my opinion, and I'll be challenging the T-shirt.
You'll be raising the Dáil this week,
during the week.
We'll await the response of government on that. Deputy Pat Daly, thanks very much for talking to us in the programme this morning. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us in the programme. That's Deputy Pat Daly, who's party spokesperson on climate, environment, energy and transport in relation to the crisis we're now in, the fuel, petrol, electricity prices, the structural deficits, the preparedness of trying to get off fossil fuels so we're less dependent on the energy needs and less dependent on outside fossil fuels when these sort of crises hit.